is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, navigators, absolutely. First things first, I have to apologize for a glitch in our video recording for yesterday's episode. I typically record in Riverside.fm. I think I've mentioned that before. And for some reason, that video didn't get captured during the upload process. So apologies there for the technical difficulties. And hopefully I won't be re-recording this section again if this video fails to record. Anyway, back with another jam-packed Daily Digest episode, playing catch-up after a week or so of batched episodes. And on that subject, and to continue with the tour kind of behind the curtain of the show, I think I'm actually going to transition away from the batched episodes whenever I can, unless it's unavoidable, of course. I feel that it does a bit of a disservice to kind of the topical aspect of what we discuss on the show. So we'll be able to hopefully in the future keep things a little bit more relevant. And I think the episode quality also might suffer a little bit too during those batched episodes, just due to the drag that tends to kind of accompany recording and editing a number of episodes. That seventh or tenth episode of the day or so just can't be as good as the first one, I don't think. So anyway, moving on now into a bunch of huge news in the AI world that even though we're using AI primarily for our marketing tactics and strategies, is still going to definitely trickle down and be relevant. So I want to make sure to bring it to your guys' attention. And of course, we'll always tie these new stories or news stories back to actionable marketing items whenever we can. That's the other thing that I think I'm going to start doing is adding some kind of some action items to the end of the show, taking a little inspiration there from Marketing Made Simple, another show I think I've shouted out on the podcast, Dr. J.J. Peterson and April Sunshine Hawkins. I really like how they always include action items and homework for listeners so they can make actionable changes or make actionable decisions with their business and their marketing strategies after every week. Okay, so again, moving on to our AI news. The first thing we are going to talk about is an announcement from Sakana.ai. And this is a AI company, obviously, a startup, and they have just introduced what they're calling the first AI scientist. And this is an AI model, an LLM model, from what I can tell, that's basically capable of taking a research topic from all the way from ideation to like completed research paper with full peer review and everything intact. Cited resources are sources, obviously, in academic format. So right now, this is definitely an academic type tool, but as these models get better and better at performing these full tasks, especially tasks that involve handling a lot of specialized data and research requirements and formatting requirements, our marketing materials that we're going to be able to create with these tools are going to improve as well, obviously. In this case, you can imagine being able to apply this research level capability to a long form use case report, for instance, for your product or service. The market research that you'd be able to do will obviously be hugely improved. So competitor research, product market fit, market identification, et cetera, definitely some compelling implications for AI marketing in the future. Okay, next we have a Twitter post from Alistair Pullen, at Alistair Pullen, and this was referenced in a recent Rundown.ai newsletter. Always shouting out Rundown.ai here. Definitely check out this newsletter linked in the show notes and subscribe to get full access. Anyway, Alistair is announcing their new product or his new product called Genie, an AI software engineer model called Genie, which basically excels especially at, of course, being a software engineer. And the reason that I'm bringing this up in our episode today is because of a really effective marketing strategy that I think AI is really starting to enable it for all of us to perform and much easier and much more accessibly. And that's building free apps or tools, web-based tools. I think I mentioned this strategy before on the show, and that's to build a tool like a calculator or some sort of web-based function or tool that you can offer as a very simple lead magnet and ideally for free. And what a lot of people have been doing recently who aren't necessarily developers is using LLMs like Claude, for instance, to build their first apps and or tools. And forget about just using these for lead magnets. People are building entire startups and businesses with little to no coding experience by cranking out one of these tools and just driving signups and driving email lists and subscriptions. So I wanted to include Genie, this new code-focused LLM, in today's episode to give you, and also to give you an action item to go try creating your own free lead magnet with one of these tools. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be a simple calculator of some sort. I have a couple of ideas in mind that I think I'm going to try and crank out if I can find the time. And I think it's a hugely effective marketing strategy. And as these tools become more available and as they continue to improve in the areas that they're focused, like coding in this instance, we definitely need to continue to look for creative ways to use them in our marketing strategies. Okay, on to our next story now. And this comes from X.AI, which is Elon's artificial intelligence wing at X. And it is the announcement of their Grok 2 beta release. So Grok, G-R-O-K, is X's large language model alternative. And with this beta release, it becomes a legitimate competitor in the AI race for sure. Whereas before, it was a relatively more simple, although restraint-free, AI chatbot. So as Elon and X entered the fray, Elon should never be taken lightly when it comes to aggressive business decisions and marketing decisions. So things are only bound to get more intense and likely controversial. And we definitely need to start considering Grok as one of the premier options as far as performance goes for optimizing marketing strategies and tactics using large language models, large amounts of data. For instance, Grok is pulling huge amounts of real-time data from X. Again, this is a great example of a time to be cautious of where the data that is being pulled from and how it's going to be used. I know there's a lot of accusations of X misinformation being promoted on X right now and things like that. And I think it's kind of in somewhat of a self-correction period on that platform right now. So definitely, as always, as we recommend on the show, take the results of these large language models with a grain of salt. Be careful using them when looking for copyrighted content or content that could be incorrect or at the very least influenced by misinformation. And especially judging by like the early images that Grok 2 has been cranking out and creating with the Flux model that we actually covered on this show as well. And these are pretty blatantly unfiltered and uncensored. People are able to crank out virtually whatever you can imagine with copyrights, IP characters, political candidates. And it's really pretty impressive in a scary kind of way. So for better or worse, that's a capability of Grok 2. And we'll leave that to a political podcast to discuss. It's going to be definitely one of the most interesting and likely controversial AI models that we see. So keep that in mind if you're going to be using it in your marketing strategies. Okay, moving on to our next article that I wanted to cover. And this one is coming from DeepMind over at Google. Okay, moving on to our next article that I want to cover. And this one is coming from DeepMind over at Google. And of course, it's linked in the show notes. This is just another quick one here, and this was also shared in a rundown.ai newsletter, and that is the fact that Imagen, I-M-A-G-E-N, so image, E-N, essentially it's Google's little wordplay there with their latest image generator model. We talked about earlier models of Imagen, and that's the fact that Imagen 3, which is the latest model of the, and the most powerful model of Google's AI image generator, Imagen, and this is the news that Imagen 3 is now meeting or beating out its competitors, in certain human evaluation benchmarks, things like just being the most preferred model to use, for instance. And it's beating out very well-known competitors like Midjourney, which will actually be coming up later in this episode in a few minutes here. So if you, like me, have been testing out some of these image generation models for your graphic design and marketing assets, even if it's just for brainstorming, which is probably still the safest route to go, it is definitely time to add Imagine to the toolbox and start comparing it to these other tools. Okay, on to the next story real quickly here, and this falls into definitely the category of way too crazy and way too sci-fi to not include in the AI Marketing Navigator podcast. Definitely going to have to apply the principle that everything AI is somehow going to affect our AI marketing efforts in this case, because this story is a little out there. This is from Live Science and is pretty insane. I will just go ahead and read the headline here for you. It reads, "These quote unquote living computers are made from human neurons and you can rent one for $500 a month." So essentially, the article goes on to explain that a Swiss company called Final Spark have essentially used brain cells. Well, not essentially, they have really used brain cells to create what they're calling organoids. These clusters of brain cells that basically provide the infrastructure for computer networks via these organized electrodes across these cells. And it gets even crazier. They are literally training these organoids via positive and negative reinforcement. Apparently, dopamine is being used for positive reinforcement, and electrical stimulus, as I understand it, to be basically shock, right, is being used for negative reinforcement. Again, maybe I'm not reading that right as just a simple marketer, but it sounds like they're literally shocking these cells when they get something wrong and rewarding them with dopamine when they get something right. Obviously, this raises a huge bevy of ethical questions and takes us right into that area where we are building some sentient life in sci-fi conversations. So again, way too crazy to not really include in today's episode. And who knows, maybe one day instead of us marketers or our companies paying Microsoft or Amazon for cloud storage, we'll just be paying hospitals or clinics or paying to create extra brains out there for our storage, which is pretty insane to contemplate. And again, leave it to a different podcast to talk about the ethical ramifications of that. Okay, finally, the last story we have here, what we will close out on with our jam-packed daily digest. And this is also coming from rundown.ai, just amazing content over the last few days from Rowan at rundown.ai. Definitely subscribe to the newsletter if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening AI. I have linked to the specific article or newsletter that Rowan published or his team published containing this little news tidbit. And that is the fact that Midjourney, which is really one of the earliest players in the image generation game. I don't know if we've done an episode on Midjourney specifically. I don't believe we have. We probably should have, and we might have to do a deep dive now, because it has at long last released a new web interface for the image generation and editing tool. And if you are familiar with Midjourney, you know that that is a huge deal because it has operated primarily and only out of Discord, a Discord server. And if you are unfamiliar with Discord, it is really a very clunky kind of way to interact, especially if it's your first time in Discord or if you're not very tech savvy. So it was a really clunky experience, I think, for beginners and somewhat confusing even for tech savvy people. It takes a little bit of a learning curve to figure out Midjourney compared to some of these other tools that we've covered. Leonardo.ai comes to mind. Canva comes to mind, obviously. Anyway, like I said, Midjourney was a super early player in the generation or image generation game. So that's likely why we saw such a rough, relatively unfriendly user interface. But that is a thing of the past now. It has a much more intuitive, familiar user interface now, very similar to some of the image generation tools that we have demoed in which you can just enter a prompt and generate your images. You're able to then edit those images with some interactive editing features. Your chats and your threads are organized in your interface. And it looks like there's some additional user prompting categories within the chat tab as well. we may have to, again, like I said, do a deep dive or a little bit of a dive into the new Midjourney tool and interface so we can do a little bit of a walkthrough. And I think that'll have to be in a coming episode. But definitely start using it again or using it to begin with if you haven't used it in the past for your image inspo, your inspiration, your graphic design projects that are appropriate, of course, for generative AI or that you feel comfortable publishing using generative AI. Okay, so that does it for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show or you found it useful in any way, please do me a favor and follow on Spotify or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. A review on top of that would be even more appreciated and so super helpful to the show. So until next time, as always, thanks for joining me and remember to stay curious, stay consistent, and keep navigating forward. Bye.